Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. We want to talk about spending. That is, there's too much of it. But there's a major paper came out just recently from the leader of the neocons in the Senate. You know, there's a neocon axis in the Senate made up of McCain, Graham, and Cotton.
Yes.
And they're the three top dogs there. And they have declared that we are in great danger. We are going to be attacked, and we're unprepared. We have no weaponry. We don't spend enough money. And therefore, their proposal, simple, $5 trillion in the next 5 years, just on the military, rebuild the military. Sounds like maybe Donald Trump might like this. He's been arguing the case. Even though these guys are neocons, I don't think Trump has earned that title. You know, so how does this come together, which will be interesting. But $5 trillion is what they want to spend to rebuild the military, claiming that we're in great danger and that we have to be prepared to fight three wars at a time. And I would think that maybe we probably have enough power to defend ourselves. I can't imagine anybody attacking us. Where's the attack going to come from? I used to kid back in the middle of the Cold War when we really did have a threat from the Soviets. I said, wonder where they wanted to build a lot more tanks. I said, wonder where the tank attacks are going to come down through Alaska or something. And sometimes they live in the dark ages about weaponry, and I think a little bit of that might be happening right now. $5 trillion, are they building weapons for purely defense? Is that what they were talking about, or are they talking about something else?
Yeah, the question is really, you know, this is a new 35-page white paper that McCain released about what our military budget should be. And the real question we had when coming up with this topic is, on the one hand, Donald Trump said we need to rebuild our military, make it the strongest. He's been critical of some weapon systems, but overall he said we need to rebuild the military. Will, you know, this be a way of healing the wounds? Because McCain and Trump have not been friends, not in the slightest. Will this be where they come together? And if so, who will be the big enemy? Because Trump has talked about wanting to have better relations with Russia. How do you justify having such a huge military?
Yeah, I just don't think the military and militarism is going to be diminished in the administration, because we have a couple generals there that, you know, are there for a purpose, but they're also influenced, as usual, by those individuals in the weapons industry. And they talk to them all the time. And sometimes it's just, you know, a matter of spending, more spending. And they equate spending with defense. And I keep thinking, well, we have to be strong, but maybe we have to be strong financially. You know, everybody claims that the Soviet system was demolished by the military buildup of Ronald Reagan. And I understand their argument, and I don't jump all over that, but quite frankly, I think there was a lot more to it than that, because I think it was the predictable failure of communism and socialism that made it impossible for them to be stretched out, have poor production at home, and they went bankrupt is what happened. So when they talk about these weapons making America strong again, and this is what we need, do they ever look at the other side of the equation? Well, maybe financially it's going to destroy us. And that's how most empires end anyway. But they don't really talk about that. They talk about the immediate. And this to me isn't even new in my lifetime. I remember very clearly the election with Kennedy in 1960. And he was talking about, you know, the missile gap. Here he was, a liberal Democrat, thought to be leaning toward less government and militarism, and he really played on that. And this is very similar. So it's been going on for a long time. It scared the people. They're coming to get us. They're going to attack us. And if you don't do it, you're unpatriotic. And only a patriot can understand exactly what McCain wants. And he would like to take that. But I don't know whether these three, neocon axes, will be able to maintain their credibility. That's really the question.
Yeah, the other question is, how patriotic is it to destroy the economy? We'll be very much weaker if the economy is destroyed. And, you know, it's the issue of that which is not seen. They talk about all these jobs that will be created building all of these ships and planes. But what about the jobs that would have been created in the rest of the country if we hadn't used all this money? Maybe we'd cure cancer or do any other number of things.
Right.
But here's what, and you alluded to it earlier, here's the priority of McCain's $5 trillion military budget. Win conventional war in Asia, Europe, and the Middle East, as well as nuclear warfare, cyber threats, and irregular warfare. So he's actually planning for us to have tanks running across Europe, fighting a conventional war. It sounds like it's 1950 or 1940.
Yeah, and building more surface vessels, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about the aircraft carrier threat. We have more than anybody, but we need more, and we need the most sophisticated. But, you know, I looked at some of these numbers, because that's one of the things that they talk about mostly is the naval buildup. Actually, yeah. I have some sympathies to the Navy, because I think a good Navy sometimes can do a lot, you know, especially in this modern age, without having these thousands and thousands of surface vessels and Marines ready to invade countries and all this. But I was looking at these numbers on aircraft carriers and why we need it. And, you know, we're supposed to be afraid of China. Well, you know, they have an aircraft carrier, and I don't think it's very modern. So here we have a few more than that. And even the Russians have, I think the Russians have a matter of seven.
Seven.
Uh-huh. And they're not advanced as ours are. But how many do we have? Well, it just turns out that we have 67. And compared to the rest, they're very moderate. But who's our closest military ally when it comes to Europe? Great Britain.
UK, yeah.
UK. They have 40. So that gets you up to 107. But then again, the next in line who has a lot of aircraft carriers, if you're going to measure military strength, it doesn't measure wisdom or economic sense about it. But the Japanese have 20.
Huh. So that covers Asia and Europe.
Yeah. So that's how many we have. So we're going to panic people into sacrificing more of their hard-earned wealth in order to boost this military budget up to $1 trillion a year, way over the current request of what we had, and get rid of sequesters that you can't ever even pick and choose and cut back on this. So this is just unbelievable that they can scare the American people into this, because it's all back to patriotism. If you don't vote for the weapons, they use the patriotism, you know, as the argument.
Yeah.
But the plain truth is, it's politics, politics, and politics. The military-industrial complex. It's those members of Congress who have their military Keynesianism. There's jobs in their district. Look at the F-35 built in 46 different states. So they're not going to vote against those jobs. Well, like you point out, maybe they'd have jobs in something else, maybe more productive, and would increase the standard of living of the people, because right now, under the circumstances of this economy, the standard of living is going down, not up, and this is part of the problem.
Yeah, and you talk about, 120-some carriers versus seven or eight, you know? But this is what McCain says, even looking at those numbers. Our adversaries are modernizing their militaries to exploit our vulnerabilities. And actually, we have a chart up that will tell you about our military vulnerabilities in terms of defense budget. What a huge gap there is between us and the rest of the world if we can... we don't have the chart right now with us, but the U.S. military budget is larger than the next seven countries combined. This is the gap that McCain is talking about.
Yeah, the amount, if they're to measure it by money. You know, sometimes money is almost irrelevant. Sometimes the money gives you reassurance and destroys the economy, but the people who do the best are the ones who are fighting for their freedom or their country, and they're fighting for their homeland. And this certainly was the case with Vietnam. Just think of the billions and billions of dollars and the lives lost at the hands of the French and the Americans, you know, throughout the 50s and the 60s. And yet, guess who won? The people who had very little money and were able to fight because they had something to fight for. So just having all these weapons, how much have we spent to remake Iraq and Afghanistan. How much can we declare victory? Oh, no, we can't do it, but we didn't spend enough money. We needed more troops. It was all Obama's fault. And yet we were hopeful he would cut back a little bit, but even wanted and claimed he wanted to get out of Iraq, and Iraq is worse than ever. They're still in chaos. Of course, his good war is getting to be a bad war, and we have thousands of troops still in Afghanistan. And of course, he's opened up the doors to continue fighting in Syria, as well as up and putting troops, even at this moment, putting troops, ground troops in Eastern Europe and tanks in Eastern Europe. I just don't know where these people are coming from. But all I can say is I hope the American people wake up and not buy into this thing that if we don't just buy all these weapons, we're going to be less secure. I argue that all this mischief that we get involved with makes us less secure. And they say, oh, yeah, but this, you're not considering ISIS. ISIS is out there, and we got to get ISIS. Well, you have to understand where ISIS comes from. Sometimes we end up giving them the weapons. Sometimes we think they're our friends, so they should fight our enemies like we did in Syria. Oh, ISIS, you go in there and get rid of Assad for us because we don't want to get our hands dirty. I mean, and then it doesn't go well. And they say, well, we need $1 trillion. Well, you know, $5 trillion in the next 5 years, and then we're going to make America strong again.
You know, and people might say, oh, you're exaggerating. We were never with ISIS. But John Kerry was caught on tape saying that exact thing. We are using ISIS as leverage against Assad. Yeah. He admitted it to a group. So that's definitely out there. The other thing that is mentioned in McCain's report is exactly what you said. He blames Obama for the creation of ISIS because pulling out of the military in the Middle East, pulling out of Iraq is what created ISIS. Not the attack in the first place, but the pulling out. But here's another. We will have a chart in a second, but it answers this question that he said, or this point that he made in his 35-page report. For too long, we've allowed budget constraints to drive our strategy. Well, let's have a look at what budget constraints have done if we have the chart up. These are the budget constraints that have hampered our strategy. These are the bases that we built encircling Russia and China. This is what constraints look like to McCain.
I wonder what we would say if the Russian flag was in Canada and Mexico.
Yeah,
we would Cuba. Get a little bit. We'd be more justified in saying something. But this goes by. They don't even think twice about it.
Yeah. And here's some tidbits from the report, from what he wants. Of course, end the sequester. You know, that's the thing that they always talk about. 18 more naval ships, 167 more tactical aircraft, a new class of aircraft carrier. The old ones weren't good enough. Drones on carriers. Increase the size of the Army to more than 500,000. Increase the Marine Corps to 200,000. More naval ships as soon as possible. 73 more F-35s, that great airplane that everyone, 58 more F-18s, 60 billion more each year for the Overseas Contingency Fund, which is a slush fund to help them fight wars without congressional authorization.
This has to be approaching insanity, you know, the amount of money. But of course, the old story is if you're not for it, you're not for America, you're not for defending this country. But if you look at this, you know, with a little bit of reason, you realize it doesn't solve the problem at all. And you know, ISIS is the big thing. I think the incoming president talks more about being prepared to fight ISIS, but that's refusing to look at where ISIS comes from. But all we have to do is go back a little bit further back to when the Soviets were in Afghanistan. That, once again, was strategy. It was admitted, and they brag on it, and they said, well, what we want to do is teach these Muslims how to be radicals and actually, you know, worked with bin Laden. But we literally, our CIA was involved in training and teaching the radicalization of these individuals because they were anti-Soviets.
Yeah.
And you know, but they brag about it because that really, really was helpful. But guess what? Maybe on long term, it wasn't a very good idea because it's expanded, and now they have found excuses for the radicals to rally their troops and recruit because we're doing what the Soviets were doing. We were in their countries and doing a lot of damage. And now, and then they say, well, what we need to do is more of it. Yeah. That I've argued the case for as long as I can remember that if people don't wake up and realize that this is never going to end, and they ought not to buy into the slogan, well, we send our children over there, our kids to go over there to defend democracy, which we totally ignore if they happen to have an election, but we send them over there to defend our constitution in an unconstitutional war, and we're there to defend freedom. It's just so sad that they get away with this. And it, you know, we talk about the recent stories about fake news, but this is not new. This is the propaganda that governments use all the time, and they've been using it for a long, long time. And they have to do this to get the people to march lockstep and get involved in this, and the people roll over, and there's no resistance whatsoever. But I maintain that overall, the people who do the fighting and the paying for wars on both sides of a battle don't want war, but they are both coerced into it on both sides by demonizing the opposition. So those over there, ISIS and the radicals, demonize us, and we demonize them. It gives an excuse to spend more money. And then the military Keynesianism comes in. A lot of people make a lot of money. And what happens? The economy gets weaker. And, you know, the deficits explode. What is this going to do to deficit? You know, it's going to make them much, much worse if things like this get passed.
You know, I think it'll be our way of victory, and our perspective would be to convince middle America, convince working America that they're being ripped off, that people around the Beltway are getting enormously wealthy at their expense, that are waving a flag to try to lead them along, and as soon as they wake up, that's when this is going to come crashing
that,
down.
That is it. And one president tried to wake up people the best he could, and I watched his farewell speech, and that was Ronald Reagan the other night, and there were things in there that was more militaristic than I would have but basically it was good. But I liked his conclusion, because he looked in the camera and he says, there is one thing that I'm disappointed with in my administration, my 8 years. He says that I didn't do anything about the deficits and nothing about the debt. And he still held to his beliefs of what he said when he campaigned for the presidency. Deficits are bad. Debt is bad. He told me once that that if any great nation gets off the gold standard and then spends like crazy, that nation cannot last. And so he believed that, but he didn't get it reversed. But indeed, he stuck to his guns, and he said that was his biggest error, his inability to cut the deficit. Well, one of these days, I hope we all wake up and we can join in somebody who's serious about cutting the spending. And you can't do that as long as you buy into the neocon warmongering and the need to tremendously increase the military budget and spend $5 trillion on the military in the next 5 years. There's a better way to go. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.